sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life.
Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Hello, this is Pastor Chaco Varghese from Parkland, Florida. Thank you for listening to the Word of Eternal Life. And this is the ministry of Life Eternal Ministries. We have been talking about the eternal plan of God. So before we get into the scripture, may I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to your presence. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak and hear from the Word of God. Give us your wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and the Holy Spirit in our heart to reveal the scriptures and the mysteries of the Word of God. We thank you and praise you for giving us this opportunity. Bless all the listeners as they are tuning into this radio station and other radio stations. God bless you richly. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have been talking about God's eternal plan. In the eternal plan of God, God has it done. It is like a done deal. God has the past, the future, and the present in front of him, and he completed his process until it everything will happen verbally, or as it happened in the process, as it happens in times, and everything will be done according to the plan of God in his time. Now, we have been talking about the revelation and the seven great tribulation years, which is not that great for people of the earth, but it is tormenting and punishment for the people of the world who lives in under the authority of the person called Antichrist or the beast. Now, John the Apostle, who was the last of the apostles who died, according to the Christian tradition, that he was exiled to the island of Patmos, which is located in between the Greek continent, where the European continent starts, between Greece and Asia Minor. In between, there is a small ocean named Aegean Sea. In that island of Aegean Sea, there was this island called Patmos, where Apostle John was exiled, because Nero, the most horrendous of the Christian persecutors after Domitian, this was another gentleman who does this, and he had him, John, put in boiled oil as to kill him in the oil, persecute and kill him. But the oil's power diminished by God's presence, and there was no heat of the oil could touch the body of John. So he removed him out of the oil and sent him to, exiled him to Patmos, where God had a plan for John rather than dying in the burning oil like all the other apostles were crucified or martyred by killing by sword, or burned them to death, but or put them in front of the wild animals. But John had a time God has prepared for him, where God wanted to speak to him and deliver him this book of Revelation, the things to happen in the future after the church is being taken out of the planet Earth. So the tribulation is going on, as in the book of Revelation. We haven't reached the tribulation. We only will start the tribulation in the earth only after Jesus Christ return and his church is being taken up into heaven. And there are many other teachings and misunderstandings concerning this, that the church will go through the tribulation, where we believe that church, no, that does not, because there is a scripture verses supporting that because of the wrath of God as it passing by, come my people, God wanted to keep them in safety. Now the church is considered to be the bride of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ to the bridegroom, and no bridegroom will allow a bride to go through tormentation and punishment, because the bride has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. He is protected, she is protected by the Christ protection and covering, and she will be received by Christ before the tribulation starts. So in chapter 3 between and 4, we believe that is the occasion which similar as it describes that Jesus Christ will return, and then the church will be taken away. So now, as the church is in heaven, the tribulation is going on in the earth. Now we have just discussed the chapter 14, first part of it, in the last time. Now here the Lamb have 144,000. Here another 144,000 is mentioned here, after the 144,000 is been sealed in chapter 7, which is sealed for the purpose of evangelizing the world at the last time before all the things closing by God, Jesus Christ. So here the 144,000 is just a number. This number represents, like many other Bible scholars, like Matthew Henry, in his commentary as well, refer and say that it is like a first fruit of the servants of God. The first fruits of the saints of Jesus Christ, they were in the first century. In my opinion, these are the first set of believers and apostles and believers of God who been tormented and punished and persecuted, and they have been received the highest crown of glorious presence of God, and they are like a first fruit to God, a big, big present for God's presence. As we study about the first fruits are very important for God. God honor the first fruits. Even in the human generation, the oldest child, the son of a family, receives the double portion, and they carry the lineage of the family. I mean, that is what Bible is discussed in the Old Testament time. Now, there are some exceptions. God has overrun the firstborn and selected even the last one. In David's case, because David was the chosen one. Okay, there are so many other categories. God will look into a person's heart and their eligibility based on God's requirement. So if the first one does not meet the requirement, God often jumps into the last one or the middle one. Now we know, out of the sons of Jacob, who was called Israel, and he had 12 sons. Now God passed to the firstborn, secondborn, and he went to Judah. Judah was picked to be the one who is going to be princely, or going to be the kingdom under his tribe. And also Joseph was picked to be the savior of the Israel. The nation of Israel, when they were just 75 people, I mean from 12 children to become 75, by the time they were all going down to Egypt, according to the message preaching Stephen did in Acts of the Apostles, talks about 75 people. They became like more than 2 million by the time they were leaving Egypt. Now, what happens here, I'm mentioning that God has his standards, and he sometimes overrun the firstborn. Now, we also know that when God told Moses to prepare the journey of Israelites going out of the country of Egypt from slavery, getting this redemption or salvation by the blood of the Lamb, they have the blood applied on the door panels, and then they waited after until the death angel passed. The death angel basically killed all the firstborns of Egypt, both animal and human. From the top of the kingdom, the one who sat on the throne to the one who was in the dungeon, everyone's firstborn died. So the firstborn is very important for God, that he sometimes punished the firstborn, and other times the ones he follow, those who follow God, the God bless them. Now, when God gave commandments to Israel after they left Egypt, they have the commandment of the offering of the first fruits. So they were supposed to bring the first fruits offering in every of this time they have the first fruits has been taken from the grains of the field or the of the wine of the grape, I mean, or an oil of olive or whatever that the their first fruits were, belong to God. So here, the humanity who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, there is a first fruit also, who are these numbers given, which is not necessarily exactly the 144 as the number, but it's just a number to refer to these first fruits. They have been redeemed from the earth. They are those who did not defile themselves with the women, for they kept themselves pure. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Here, defiled with the women, which doesn't mean that we are talking down on the women. The women here mentioning is because the ones who are redeemed for Jesus Christ, they are called virgins. Why they are virgins? That's a spiritual way of identifying them for the holy child of Jesus. I mean, holy church of Jesus. That's why they were called as virgin, because they have not been touched by any man. And that means here the man we think is the world. They are separated from the world. They are not unmarried physically. They are the people who separated their life spiritually holy, living according to the word of God. That is all that means. So it is not here just to degrade women for whatever reason here. The Bible is not degrading the women. It's a metaphorical, allegorical, or symbolical, so many different ways the Bible is written in order for us to understand it. That's what it means. So they were holy, they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. See, our tongue has to be holy when we live in this earth as Christians. Believers, we are holy in our speech, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our behavior, in our deals. Everything has to be holy. Now, we may think sometimes we get temptations comes into our mind that we need to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Now, the next verse is verse 6 in chapter 14. It talks about three angels. Then I saw another angel flying in mid-air, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." Now, this is a eternal angel flying in the mid-air and preaching the salvation, eternal gospel proclaim those who live in the earth. Now, there is no time for the Christians to preach other than the 144,000 mentioned in chapter 6 will do at the last period of the 3.5 years or within the whole 7-year time of tribulation. But this is an angel. Okay, an angel never been preached before, but God is going to use an angel to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and the springs of water." You see, now there are scientists, a group of the majority, who thinks that all these things happened, just form it randomly. God has nothing happen randomly. God has everything planned, established, scientifically done. God is the father of science. It's not Albert Einstein. It is not Darwin. It is not Isaac Newton. It is not anybody. It is God who is the father of the science. Okay, so you the Newton, who was a God-believing scientist, he went in and started thinking about things happening right in front of his eyes, and God gave him the wisdom to understand the powers of the nature or forces of gravity and equilibrium of the energies, different forms of energy. All this was revealed to the man of God. He was a Christian believer. Now, the other side, Einstein was not a believer. He was an atheist. He lived all his life. And so as many others who had done great inventions, praise the Lord, they did not believe in God. They didn't think that God wasn't there. Okay, the other day I listened to one of the scientists who just passed a few years back, one of the world well-known, renowned scientists who came to the U.S. and received some medals, few years back, praise the Lord, and he said that, God wasn't there. They couldn't find God. So, unfortunately, these men did not receive the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of God. Now, in my book, I wrote, "When You Meet God is the Reason of Revelation of God." Because one day I said, "God, Father, how am I going to preach the scripture, the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world?" See, I wanted to get everywhere, but God said to me, "Preach the gospel, all world." But I said, "How in the world, after some years, preaching?" And then I said, "How am I going to get everywhere, Lord?" Then the Lord said to me, "I will tell you how to do it. I am going to have you sit down and pay attention to me, and I am going to tell you what to do." So I did not know what he was going to ask me, so I went and sat down at my desk, and next to my desk on my chair. And he said to me, "I want you to write down everything you know about me." I said, "Wow, everything I knew about you, I don't know everything about you." But he said to me, "Write about all the things you learned from my servants of God, my servants who preached, taught, studied, give you studies. You read the scripture, you read from childhood, you read about me, and my spirit has spoken to you, and all these things you learned, and I want you to start writing them." I said, "Lord, I never wrote the book. I'm a scientist, like doctorate in pharmaceutical science and medicine, but I published scientific article, but I don't know how to write a book." But the Lord said to me, "Just start." So I started writing. At the end, I completed a book, more than 200 some pages, everything in it is about God. It's all about God. Nothing about myself, nothing about anybody. It's all about God and the men of God who met him. There is 5 different ways God revealed himself to the universe or to the humanity. First, He spoke His scripture, His word. He spoke, He talked to humanity. Those are received by the people who had the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God in them. In the ones who received the Holy Spirit in them, they were called prophets. Praise the Lord. Do they live today? Yes, we have prophets even in the New Testament time. The Old Testament time, God raised prophets to lead the people of Israel and also tell His message to the world, the people of the world. And everything they have spoken is continuously being fulfilled. Praise the Lord. So God spoke through the prophets and it was written down afterwards. Now the secondly, God has revealed Himself through the conscience of humanity. He placed a God knowledge in every human being, which is called, in your conscience, you know that when you do something wrong, the Lord, the Spirit of God will communicate with you. So there is the God conscience, and then we also have the human encounters. See, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, even Adam and Eve met God. Now I have explained in that book how God has revealed Himself and why it is true that encounters are true, because the generation of people who had encounters with God did exist. That's why Noah's three sons and their descendants still exist. And you can look them up by checking each of their tribe's name into the history. Okay, if you say Ludites and Put, and many others, Mesraim, and those are many, many strange names. If you look, Amalekites, Moabites, Ammonites, I tell you, there is all kind of people came out of Noah's three sons. So if you see, they are alive. We can see their generation. We are all one of those three men's generation. Praise the Lord. Now I can tell you, in that book I have explained all this, that if God didn't exist, those people never exist and we did not exist. And also fourthly, God has revealed by His creation the universe. So much mathematics and physics and astrophysics involved in the calculations, distance, angles. Man, how can that happen randomly? If you threw a whole bunch of stones up in the air, you think they're going to stand there? No. God has calculated all the distances between the sun and the earth. See, that's like 93,000 miles. Praise the Lord. Every planet has its own calculated distance from our sun, who holds this whole family of planets and a lot of other tiny, planet-like also exist around the sun. They're all circulating. They're all going at high speed. Each of them have its speed based on the distance. And the existence is calculated. I have described all this in that book. About 40% is about science, how God created and how it exists. So you can't say there is no God. You cannot say that it happened randomly, because anything happen randomly can keep on changing, but here nothing changes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lastly, finally, God revealed Himself to us by sending His own Son in His image and likeness, in the form of a human. And the word God was speaking became flesh, and that flesh appeared in the womb of Mary, a virgin God selected. And as I said before, it was God's selection. And the Spirit, Jesus, entered into the womb of Mary and made His own creation as the human flesh, human body. He came out, He was born. This is history. Praise the Lord, this is true, that Jesus was born and he lived and he did his ministries, he resurrected and he died and he is living today. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that thing is happened by, so these people or human beings we all are from the descendants of Adam and from the descendants of Noah's three children. So the people who don't believe, they cannot believe in it, you know, unless they believe in God. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. God created everything. Nothing came by itself. But again, this is the thing. It's called, there is a Greek word called ex nihilo, which means from nothingness. When God created the universe, he called on everything from where it did not exist. It's called ex nihilo, no existence. It's a brand new, it just made by the power, God's word. It's a secret that he will not disclose to us other than the three heads of God, which is called the Trinity. The one head, which is all depends, all these three Godhead rested, lives on Jesus Christ, as Apostle Paul says in the book of Colossians. So it's the God's great work of that he is there for eternally, forever and ever. Now, another angel came and said, "Fallen, fallen, the Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine in her adulteries." Now, I will speak about this next time. The maddening wine was drunken by this prostitute called the great prostitute named the woman Babylon. We will be talking about that next time. Now, I will be right back with my announcement. And thank you for listening. May the Lord richly bless you.
Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of love.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. And if you have any more questions or if you'd like to contact me and talk more about this subject, please call me at 954-993-0491. And my email address is P like Peter, R like Robert, dot CHACKOV like Victor at gmail.com. That is PR.CHACKOV at gmail.com.
This passing world is done, when I sunk young glaring sun, when we stand with Christ in glory, looking o'er life's finished story, then Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, much I owe, and all I owe you pay for me, from all I owe I've been set free, and all I owe proves your great mercy to me. When I stand dressed in beauty, not my own.